T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The countdown is on to football.
Okay, Pat.
Not just Falcons tonight, or the NFL 3 weeks from tonight. Yeah, the NFL season opener is 3 weeks from tonight. But college football begins in just 9 days. And Georgia Tech and Clemson is 2 weeks from tonight, Jeff Collins. You got a 2-week warning, you Yellow Jackets, ahead of your showdown with Clemson. Georgia just 16 days away from its opener on the road at Vanderbilt. So, yeah, I mean, it's a coming, Hugh. It's a freight train running. Next week, this time, we're going to be talking about college football being, a couple days away. Here we go. Can't wait for it to start. Going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a really interesting season because of all these big games early in the year are going to capture our attention. College football's done a pretty darn good job over the last few years of really trying to get those big early season non-conference games. Television's done a good job of driving that. You know, some of the at neutral sites like, you know, and we've had bigger games than Alabama Duke here, obviously, in the Chick-fil-A. No offense, Duke. That's where you have Auburn and Oregon. You know, those big intersectional games.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking that, you know, all these, you know, all this excitement, and we get, you know, StubHub out there talking about the most in-demand tickets of the year. And what this kind of threw me, because I wanted to just ask you, if you had to think of all these big preseason early games that we're talking about, what game is the biggest game of the year?
Are we talking about preseason or college?
Well, college. I'm sorry.
Okay, because you said preseason.
Yeah,
I would probably say Notre Dame, Alabama.
Notre Dame, Georgia.
What did I say? Notre Dame, Alabama. Yeah. You know what I mean. Notre Dame, Georgia. Yeah.
Right. It's the most expensive ticket out there. It's the most expensive ticket in Georgia history right now, because I just went to StubHub. I'm confused by what StubHub reported yesterday, because StubHub says that the most in-demand game is LSU, Texas, and that UGA, Notre Dame is second. Okay, now, so you go to StubHub and you look at what's the get-in price, the cheapest ticket for LSU, Texas? Well, according to StubHub, it's $297. But the cheapest price right now, Hugh, if you want to go to the Georgia-Notre Dame game, the cheapest you can get in, $450.
Woo-hoo. Luckily, I know Randy McMichael. I ain't got to worry about stuff like that. Those prices are for common folk. I know Randy Mack, so I ain't even... Those prices, I laugh at those prices. I scoff. I know Randy McMichael. I ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, it's saying that LSU Texas is the most in-demand game at StubHub. Now, maybe that's just
where's that game? LSU?
No, at Texas.
Interesting.
In Austin. Maybe it's just based on the number of people, you know, buying and selling tickets, I guess, because from a price standpoint, the most expensive game by far is Georgia and Notre Dame. $450 to get into a regular season game at Georgia. Well, it's the biggest regular season game ever in Georgia's history.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. You know what? To be totally honest, though, I don't really even have to go to the game. I just want to be in the atmosphere. I just want to be – if I'm not in the building, I want to be close to the building, because I'm pretty sure that there's going to be so much alumni there that are able to come back, and it's such a big game that it's going to be fun regardless. You could probably have fun going to the tailgate, you know, and just hooking up with some of the older Georgia alumni. Like I said, as a matter of fact, they go Randy Mack right now. Glad I know that guy, because I don't have to worry about no UGA tickets. But it's going to be one of those games where everybody, if you want to see anybody that played for UGA that went on to the pros, they're probably going to come back for that game.
You know, it's been one of my kind of not all right, this is an observation, not a criticism, okay? It's an observation, Georgia fans, not a criticism. Well, one of the problems with Athens over the years has been that Georgia has lacked some big games because of the fact that they don't play Alabama. It's just an observation, because they don't play Alabama very often, if at all, it seems, in the regular season, right? And so then you get Alabama. What was the last time they played Alabama in Athens? Is that game that everybody at Georgia wants to forget about in the rain, that thing, right? Yeah, I mean, it's been a number of years. And so you don't get Alabama very, very often. And then you don't ever get Florida, except for the one-offs that they had. Because it's so you don't get Florida coming in. You don't really get Alabama coming in. And so you miss those kind of really big hype games. Yeah, you get Georgia Tech every other year, I guess. But you don't get those really super big games. I know Clemson's coming back in, and they're trying to do more with scheduling other opponents, which is good. So this is going to be something we don't get a real sense of, Hugh, which is that gigantic game in Athens.
I think you will. And you know, it's like, as a student, because I'm pretty sure students get a pretty good price on tickets. And I'm pretty, what is it like at a school like that? It's like two per student or something like that you could actually get. Like the resale value on those tickets could probably pay your tuition. You could probably, if you play this right, if you got some good seats, if you could play this thing right, you could make you a nice little come up this season and have like laundry money. You have some like little side money.
Or in some places I know have gone to, you have to have your ID to use it. Is Georgia using that now?
Yeah, you got. I'm saying as a student ID, right? Student ID. Yeah, but you can still get the tickets. Oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
Yep.
You mean you have to, like the student tickets.
Yep. Your
you
name have to, and the ID.
Oh, yeah. That,
it's like
yeah,
boarding a plane. You know,
that,
you
that ain't right.
Have your boarding pass and your
right.
ID.
That ain't right. You didn't messed up the come up for the common student. That ain't right.
Yeah, they
that
did.
That is messed up.
Yep, they did. Yeah, that's getting to be a thing for big games, especially where it's sort of like, you know, you get on a plane, you got to show your ID and your
that
boarding
right.
pass to the TSA guy. That's how you have to get in if you're a student. Not anybody else, but if you're a student, you got to show your
if you have the
ticket.
Student ticket.
Yep.
That ain't right. Because your name is on the ticket?
Yep.
That ain't right. Georgia, y'all ain't right for that one. That ain't right.
Well, I mean, at least I don't know if your name's on the ticket, but it'll say student ticket and you're showing your student ID. You could probably sell it to another student, but oh, I don't know. Maybe your name. I have no idea. I mean, somebody.
Well, you said you got, if it's a student ticket, I'm pretty sure they're probably different than the regular tickets. But still, that ain't right. That
yeah.
ain't right.
Yeah. So that's just. Right. By the way, ticket demand for Georgia, you know, overall has more than doubled. They're the most second most in demand team in the entire nation this year, and that's partly due to the home schedule having Notre Dame and you know on it and having Georgia Tech on it. So I mean, the home schedule this year is you know a lot better. And again, that's again. You don't get Florida. You don't get, you know, and this year you won't get Auburn. And you don't almost ever get Alabama because of the way the SEC works. So good for Georgia. Speaking of the Dogs, as we get ready, 9 days away, talking a little college football, 9 days away from the Florida-Miami game in Orlando and 2 weeks ahead of Georgia-Georgia Tech, 16 days ahead of Georgia at Vanderbilt. ESPN has come out with its top 50 players of college football and ranks three Georgia players in the top 50. Jake Fromm ranks number five overall behind Trevor Lawrence, number one, Tua Tagovailoa, number two, Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver at Alabama, number three, and Grant Delpit, who is the star defensive back at LSU, number four. DeAndre Swift and Andre Thomas both ranked in the – he says three in the top 50. It's actually three in the top 15 with Andrew Thomas at number 15. And by the way, you should know this. There are some mock draft sites out there saying that Tua won't be the number one pick, that Fromm won't be the number one pick, that the number one pick will actually be – Andrew Thomas, the left tackle of the Georgia Bulldogs. So just a lot of excitement. Hugh.
Way too early 2020 predictions for the NFL draft. That's what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it because, you know, that quarterback thing always changes. And I'm somebody on Twitter told me that they usually – if you're going to sell your tickets to the Georgia game,
mm-hmm.
they usually sell the IDs along with the tickets. So if you got the right hair color, then you're probably good. So make sure that you sell your tickets to somebody who vaguely looks like you. Now, that makes it even tougher, though, because you got to go around making sure if you're going to make a ticket come up that the person vaguely kind of looks like you, too. That's a lot going on. And Lord, they got to look fairly young, too, because some of those kids probably, you know, you can't look like me trying to get into the Georgia game with a full gray beard. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. You can't do that.
So, yeah. I don't.
But
think
that's an opportunity to make a little bit of money, though. That's a little like if you play your cards right.
What happens if you lose your ID? I don't know that I would be wanting to do that.
You can always get another student ID.
You just go okay.
You can just say you lost it. You know, I'm pretty sure they got a student ID, number or whatever you got. They got you on file, so.
So we're just looking at a little bit of college football again, and this was just whetting our appetite. I can't believe it's around the corner. I've been waiting so long for it. I hope you have too. And we're going to be, of course, focusing in next week. We'll be talking about the game between Florida and Miami, and then after that, it's off to the races with Georgia Tech and Clemson and Georgia and Vanderbilt and all those big games in week one. All these great games early in the season. In the first month of September, all those big games, LSU, Texas, and Auburn, Oregon, and Georgia, Notre Dame in the first month, and on and on and on. A&M and Clemson's in the first month of the year. All these great games. Ohio State, on the other hand, they're not playing nobody. This is why I've been telling you, I think Justin Fields, if he wins the starting job, what do you mean he's going to win? He didn't go, okay. They're playing like nobody, all right, in the first month. And no offense, Indiana, but they're not playing, it's like Youngstown State or Florida Atlantic, I don't know who it is. But they're playing nobody in September, and so they're going to run up big scores. Now, so you're saying, okay, Justin Fields and Ryan Day are going to get off to a quick start. So why is there any reason to talk about Ohio State? Well, because yesterday they decided to go full-on elite-y snooty. Ohio State has decided, Hugh, to trademark the Ohio State University.
Well, the way I read it, it was the to go like they showed examples of like shirts and all of this stuff. That's what kind of had me kind of think, because I'm like, you can't trademark the, because they are real snooty about protecting their brand. It's been like that for a long time. I remember back when I was in high school, how when you talked about Ohio State, people would be real snootified and they say the Ohio State University. Okay, mm-hmm. I get it. That's cool. That's all right.
Yeah, the shorthand, if you ever see it on Twitter, is a small T and then capital OSU. You know, and I don't know why the Ohio State University, as opposed to what? Is there another Ohio State University that could
claim the fame,
Ohio State University?
Because my first wife went to Ohio State, and like their big to do is like they have the biggest campus in the United States, and you know it's the prestigious school, the Horseshoe, all that, the Ohio State, you know, all that, man. I'm like, man, go on with that. Like, and I have even friends that are alumni that. You know, the first game there in the shoe is a big deal. All that, man, go on with that. It's cool. But, yeah, they got real snootified with it and try to get that V.
Yeah, right. So they're trying to trademark it, I guess, so they can use it. I don't know. Maybe other people have been using it. I don't know. And maybe they're trying to just forestall that, I guess. That
I don't
could
know.
Be
and,
case.
Then, Michigan had a tweet that they sent out. Where it was like, of Michigan. Yeah, that's what it was. Thank you. Thank you, Orin. See that it takes Orin to. I was trying to figure out what that meant, and I was like, because it said I just read of M, so it's you of M. Okay, got you. So they was trolling Ohio State a little while, and I just realized, okay, now it makes sense, because at first it didn't make sense. I'm not gonna lie, I'm sitting there, and you know how you're looking at something, and you're like, what? Okay, got you. U of M, University of Michigan. Got you.
Well, you know, all the rivalries down south, and if you've lived down south your whole life, you assume that the greatest rivalries are down south, and they are. I mean, Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia, pick one, Georgia, Florida, Georgia Tech, Georgia, Auburn, all these great rivalries that are down here, and there are a lot of great ones down south, and a lot of mean, nasty, ugly rivalries. I get it, right? But that Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, I'm not sure that there's really an uglier rivalry.
It's big, man. I remember when I first started playing football, my coach, name was Bo Helts at the time. Big Bo Schembechler fan. Like, had Wolverine stuff all over his office in Ohio. And I remember when they would come in, people would look at him some kind of way or whatever. But he loved the Michigan Wolverines. It was something about that Wolverine, man, and it was pretty exciting. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a Michigan Wolverine, but they told me I was too little.
They missed out, didn't they?
It all worked out.
Will it all work out for
the— U of M. God, thanks, Orin. I feel like a weight has been lifted off of my mind, because I'm sitting here like, I didn't get it.
Well,
I'm
work,
so stupid now.
We'll work out for the Falcons. We're all good. Kelsey Conway, Falcons reporter for AtlantaFalcons.com, has the very latest as we head towards the game tonight between the Falcons and the New York Football Jets. Kelsey will join us in a moment. As the morning show continues on Sports Radio 99 The Game after a CBS Sports Minute.
Number one, I'd like to see us function without having some of the fouls that are limiting some of the plays. Can that be more consistent? You know, defensively, we've seen some third down and red zone fouls. And learning through the pain of those that it's not just a foul. It's kind of like the consequence of what happens on that drive. You know, the third down in the red zone that goes to a first down, Well, it resulted in a touchdown at the end. So having a mindset and a consciousness like, all right, man, I got to have the awareness for it.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn talking about cleaning up some of the things he needs to clean up with three preseason games to go. It is a game night for the Atlanta Falcons. This hour of the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. Falcons and Jets, our coverage begins at 5:30 tonight. Pre-game show with Paul Crane and Harry Douglas. Kick at 7:30 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with Wes and Dave on the call and home of the Falcons Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, the Falcons are asking, download the app if you're going to the game because, or if you're just if you're not because of all the great news and stuff. The Falcons have a lot of great digital content, including at AtlantaFalcons.com, where right now there's a pretty cool thing up there, Hugh, on Rico Allen. It's a multi-part series on called The Comeback that they shot and produced, and it's really well done. And I highly encourage you to go to AtlantaFalcons.com and watch it if you're a Falcons fan about Rico's return to active playing and coming off that Achilles injury. It's really, really well done. Kelsey Conway, one of the lead reporters for AtlantaFalcons.com, joining us to talk a little bit about the game tonight. Good morning to you, Kelsey.
Good morning, guys.
So, Kelsey, as far as this game is concerned, you know every week we want to progress and do something better. What are some of the position matchups that we should look for tonight?
I think based off these first two preseason games, the three position battles I'm most intrigued to watch that I would tell you to also pay attention to are running back. I heard that you were playing the audio from Matt Ryan talking about Brian Hill. He's definitely a guy that you should keep your eye on as along with Allison, the rookie out of Pittsburgh, and you mixed in Barner, even though he's mostly a return type of guy, but that running back group, because it's going to be interesting to see how many running backs they keep, because those guys are battling for it, and they're going to make it hard for Thomas and Mitch Ross and Dan Quinn to decide how many running backs they want to keep, because you know that Devontae Freeman and Ito Smith are pretty much locked at one and two, but it's that. Are they going to keep three? Are they going to keep four or five running backs? That's definitely a position I would pay attention to. And receiver, you know, Dan Quinn said this week he could envision the team keeping up to seven receivers. So where are those last three spots behind Julio, Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage? Who's getting those last couple of spots? So those two position groups are definitely ones that I would keep your eye on tonight. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, we're looking at that. We're also looking at, you know, there was that John Kaminsky moment in the first game against Denver. Uh-huh. There was the Austin Larkin moment, which really caught a lot of people by surprise in that game against Miami. Who's going to be that guy tonight that has that kind of moment that we're talking about tomorrow morning?
I'm going to go with either Kendall Sheffield or Jordan Miller. I think one of those rookie cornerbacks is due for kind of a big moment, given that they'll play a majority of the time tonight. I mean, obviously, we saw Isaiah Oliver a little bit last game. But I just have a feeling that one of those corners is really going to start to show themselves, because both of them have had flashes during camp. Jordan Miller a little bit more so than Kendall Sheffield, but I just have a feeling that one of those guys, I think we're going to be calling his name a lot tonight.
You know, going back to that running back spot a little bit, Kelsey, do you think it's possible that Coach Quinn might carry five running backs this year?
I do. I think it's possible if you look at it like this. Barner, even though he will be listed as a running back, if that's who they decide is the return person, which that position is totally up for grabs. That's another position battle I forgot to mention earlier that you should pay attention to. With Marcus Green healthy now, that position battle is going to be definitely one to watch over these next two preseason games. But Barner would technically, even though he'd be listed as a running back, he would really be the returner, just like kind of Andre Roberts was listed as a wide receiver a couple of years ago. He was really primarily just a returner. So if you look at it like that, I could see them keeping five running backs in that Allison and Hill both make the team, because if they wanted to put one of them on practice squad, as you know, Hugh, there's no guarantee that they'll make it to practice squad. So I think given that Hill's played really well, they like what he can do, and all of a sudden they drafted him with the, you know, vision that he'd be that power back that could, you know, be an every down back for them. So I really do think that this is a year where they could keep five running backs if you break it down the way I just mentioned. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting battle, no question about that. And we, you know, of course, we get Marcus Green tonight, so we'll see what he does from a return standpoint against the Jets. Jets and Falcons tonight, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, first home preseason game of the year. 7:30 kick, and of course, live on Sports Radio 90 tonight, the game. We're talking with Kelsey Conway, who covers the team for AtlantaFalcons.com. As we get into this game, I'm curious, Kelsey, there's a show called First Things First on FS1, and this morning I was walking through and just out in the green room and happened to be on during a break, and they were asking the question about, you know, what do you think about the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl chances? One of the Chumleys on that show says, oh, I think the Falcons are absolutely the third-place team in that division. I don't think it's even close that the Winter Swampers and the Panthers are going to be 1-2, and the Falcons, I don't even know why anybody's body, blah, 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 blah. So there's so little belief in the Falcons. You know, we've seen it time and time again here in the offseason, Kelsey, whether you don't put Matt Ryan in the top 10 of quarterbacks, or, you know, was it SI or somebody ranked the Falcons 22 in the NFL, or this or that. Nobody's putting any stock in the Falcons. Do the players see any of that and respond to it, or they just ignore it entirely?
No, I think they hear it, but I don't think they react to it. And I'll tell you this, they would honestly prefer it to be that way, where I think these guys are operating this year, heading into the year, with a, we know we have to prove something. Because if you remember, before last season, I mean, that was the opposite of what was going on with the Falcons. Everybody was saying the Falcons are no doubt, you know, going to be the first team to host the Super Bowl in their own stadium. This team has everything they need. And, you know, the expectations were extremely high for the Falcons last year. And they'll tell you they didn't meet the expectations. Going 7-9 was not expected and not something they're happy about. So I definitely think, having talked to a couple of guys, they almost prefer kind of being off the radar a bit, and they're looking forward to surprising people, because everyone in that locker room knows how much talent they have. And as Grady Jarrett said a couple weeks ago, it's not about talent on paper, it's what you do with it. So I think that they'd almost rather have these, you know, these websites and people talking, you know, I'm not sure what the Falcons are going to do this season, because I think they want to prove themselves this year.
I believe that to be the case as well. Kelsey, I'm going to ask you a hard question right now, because this is a question that's on everybody's mind in Atlanta.
All right.
How many plays are the starters going to get tonight?
Well, I can't say how many plays, because only Dan Quinn knows that, but he did say, when he was asked how much the starters will play, he said at least a series. So however long that series is, I think that's how much we'll see of Matt Ryan and co. And I think some starters are definitely going to play a lot more. Like, Casey played a good amount. Oliver played a good amount last year. But I think in terms of, like, Matt Ryan and those types of starters, I think a series. And it'll be interesting to see if guys like Keanu Neal and Ricardo Allen get some action. Obviously, they're your starters, but if they're able to get one series tonight, what will that look like? You know, that's something to definitely pay attention to as well.
Kelsey Conway, reporter for the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons signed another camp quarterback yesterday, getting Danny Etling from the Patriots, former LSU and Purdue quarterback. Does this signal that two things? One, that Kurt Becker probably not going to be back, and two, that you want to kind of maybe limit a little bit some of what Matt Schaub does in terms of just letting Matt Sims and now Etling kind of take the snaps the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think you're definitely spot on. I mean, the Falcons make roster moves all the time. They're always looking for which players become available, so I don't necessarily think they make those moves with, you know, everything in mind, as you said, but Matt Schaub definitely played a lot, and I know that he probably played more than, you know, you would want your typical backup to play. But, yeah, Matt Sims came in last week, and he's, you know, getting back up to speed with the system, and that's good that he at least has some familiarity. But I think over these next couple of weeks, I think Kurt Benkert's going to be out for a bit with that toe injury, and I think they want to get another young quarterback in here to start developing so that they have, you know, an extra quarterback to play over these next couple of weeks, because even though it seems like it's, you know, getting closer and closer to season, we still got about 3.5 weeks before the regular season. So there's still a lot of football games left to be played.
Including one tonight. Thanks, Kelsey. Do appreciate it very much.
Thank you kindly.
See you guys tonight.
All righty. Kelsey Conway, Falcons reporter for AtlantaFalcons.com, as she joins us this morning ahead of the game. Again, our coverage of the Falcons and Jets, which really pretty much started, does officially start for the network at 5:30 tonight with Paul Crane and Harry Douglas on the pregame show. Wes and Dave on the call of the game at 7:30 this evening, live on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And again, download that app. We're telling you, if you're going to the game, you're going to love this new app, what they've done. They've done a lot of cool things. I'm still playing around with it. A lot of great alerts, a lot of things for Mercedes-Benz Stadium that they didn't have on the old app. Kind of mirrors, in some ways, Atlanta United's app now. Man, these guys do this stuff digitally. It just blows me away. All right, we get ready for football tonight on a Falcons game night with John and Hugh. Eddie, Randy, top of the hour on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. The markets are going to give me heartburn again. All right, all over the map today. 800 points yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, you know this show is supposed to like uplift people. You just depressed everybody.
I know.
Like you just reminded everybody like why they going to work and everything. Good job, John.
I know.
Way to go.
I can't help it. I mean, I'm a market watcher, always have been. And I'm an investor, not a trader, so I know it's long term. I don't need you to walk me through that. I've been doing it for a long time.
Again, way to go with depressing everybody on the radio.
I'm not trying.
Good job.
The market for fantasy football is pretty good. That fantasy football summit we're going to have, because people have been asking, is the 24th of August. Write this down or put it in your phone. 24th of August, noon to 3 at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Brad Evans of Yahoo and Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network. Liz Loza from Fantasy Football Live. And we'll give you all the inside scoop. And, of course, a lot of info on our website at 92thegame.com. It's going to be interesting to be at Twin Peaks that day because I think we're going to be drafting, aren't we? I think that's the plan.
I don't know.
I mean, that's what I thought.
Do we have a fantasy football league here at the station? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Nobody told me that. All I heard was that we're holding classes
mm-hmm.
for people that want to draft fantasy football. Now, as far as I know, the information is for you to take and go to, I guess, your fantasy league with better information than you had in the past. That's what I thought. I don't know. I don't know if we're actually drafting people or whatever. I haven't been told that yet.
Yeah, I used to play fantasy football a lot, and then I got into a trap. I wouldn't draft anybody on a team that I didn't like because I couldn't root for, and that's, of course, pretty much one team in particular, because I couldn't root for them. You know, I mean, I just couldn't make myself do that. And so when you take a team out of the equation because you won't draft anybody from one team, you kind of hamstring yourself in the fantasy draft.
Well, that was just, you know. It's a trap. Yeah, that's just probably silly on your part, John Fricke. I mean, I, as much as I hate the Cowboys, if I'm trying to win a league, I'm going to draft some of the Cowboys players. I would draft Ezekiel Elliott in a heartbeat. I would take Amari Cooper in a heartbeat, you know, because it's like even though I hate the Cowboys, I'm trying to win. So if you choose to hamstring yourself like that, then I wouldn't even probably be in a draft, a fantasy football draft. That's just crazy.
Yeah, how do you take, if you're a Falcons fan and you're in a fantasy draft, how do you take Drew Brees or
because you're trying
Michael
to win.
Thomas or Alvin Kamara?
Because you're trying to win your fantasy
and
draft.
And go, yeah.
I've been doing this Coke fantasy draft for the last couple seasons here since I've been here in Atlanta, and it's very, very competitive. And this year I'm doing it with my man Andy Bunker, but I did it in the past with Rick Hamlin. And there's been times where people have said, like we were drafting, and things haven't went Rick Kamler's way. And Rick was about that life. Rick was about to take it somewhere that even I, and you know how petty I am, even mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. had to question whether or not we need to go there. Because he got kind of hot a couple times. And if Dave was here, Dave Archer was here, he'll tell you that it was a little uncomfortable. It was funny, but listen, Rick was a guy who took his fantasy football very, very serious. Very, very serious. And him being my partner, if put it like this, if Rick Kamler would have set it off at the Coke draft,
mm-hmm.
I would have had to go with him, and I probably would not be invited. because that was my teammate. Whether he is wrong or right, I gotta go. Like Rick, I'm looking at Rick, and Rick's hot, and I'm like, dang, where's Rick about to go with this? Because wherever he goes, I gotta go with him. So it was one of those moments, but he held it together, but he was not happy. He let me know that he was not happy. So it's one of those things where it's super competitive. So with that being said, listen, I'm going to draft everybody I have to in order to win. Because I want a ring, man. I'm tired of all the people trash talking and all this other stuff. I'm trying to be in that winner's circle because those are the cliques that I run in now, and they're pretty competitive. And, you know, I was one of those guys that really didn't care that much about it. But now I do because a lot of them have rings. A lot of the people that play, they have rings, and they like to flaunt those said rings in my face, and I ain't got nothing for that. I ain't got no hardware. So I am that guy. I want to win fantasy football.
Yeah, this guy on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line says, you know, how do you root for guys on the teams that you don't like? And he says, money. John, the answer is money.
Bottom line.
Yeah, I guess. Here's my thing. I would pay money every week to see that other team lose. Okay, I would pay $100 to see them lose every week. That'd be $1,600 out of my pocket, well spent. it becomes kind of difficult for me, I guess, in a way.
Well, you probably shouldn't do fantasy football.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't.
That to me is like, if I'm trying to win, I'm trying to get everybody. I mean, as much as I don't like Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, Tom Brady on the board, I'm drafting him without a thought. If they're drafting quarterbacks and he's there, I'm getting Tom Brady without a second thought. It wouldn't be I don't like him. Nah, I like money. I like to win. I want to win. And if Tom Brady gives me the chance to win, damn it, I'm drafting Tom Brady.
No, I get that. I totally understand. It just becomes an impossibility for me. I guess you have to almost say you want your guy to do well as long as the team loses. It's like, all right, yeah, you scored, now lose.
Okay, so what's the problem with that?
I guess that's the way to look at it.
That's probably how most fantasy football people do it. You don't root for the team. You're rooting for that player. And if that player goes out there and has a good game, it doesn't matter if they win or lose.
Yeah, see, another text in. I have a Falcons tattoo, but I drafted Breeze last year and won my league.
Hey, smart man.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Smart man.
Except Breeze, wait a second now.
Maybe you need to get another Falcons tattoo.
What were you rooting for when the Falcons played the Saints?
We just told you, John. You act like this is your first fantasy football rodeo. You root for the player to do well. They don't have to win.
I can't. No, I want Breeze to be sacked 12 times. That's why you're right.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let you have this one, John, because this is like one of them conversations that's kind of like, you know, you talking about money over fandom. No, I'm going to go ahead and let you have this one. That's kind of like you just don't hear crying about the stock market, but now you don't want to do fantasy football.
Well, but
football
the stock market's real, though. That's real
money.
Yeah,
but fantasy football money is real. If you put money in the league, what's the difference?
Well,
you're trying to win money.
Retirement is the difference.
All right, then, John, you're playing semantics now. It's bottom line is you're trying to get some money, right? Bottom line, if you're playing fantasy football for money,
right,
you're trying to get some money.
There are some leagues out there, I think some fantasy football leagues that I think are serious money, right? I mean, big money out of Vegas, like million-dollar leagues or something like that, right? I mean, there's some leagues that play, like, I heard about these things where they play, it's like $5,000 to get in and then or $10,000 to get in for a team. You form a consortium, And I mean, I'm not just talking about your $20 league that you play for at work. I'm talking about big leagues when it comes to fantasy football. We are getting ready for our Fantasy Football Summit, which is the 24th of August at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. And it will be interesting to see. It'll be free for you to come. Of course, you got to pay for food and drink, but we want you to be there and be part of all of this in the Fantasy Football Summit on the 24th. Andy Randy coming up top of the hour. It is game night. All right, so tonight we get to see the starters, Hugh. I guess kind of our little final thought about the game ahead tonight. And what did Kelsey say? We see them as long as one series lasts kind of thing?
Yeah, as long as they get one series, that's probably what all it'll be. I'll be watching them from the battery because I think I'm going to go to the game tonight. Go watch the Braves beat up on the mess. Watching beat up on the mess tonight from the battery.
Let's stay cool.
I ain't worried about that. I'm going to be inside. Everybody else is going to watch the game outside. I'm going to watch it where they have a television. I'm that guy that will go to the game and watch it on TV because I'm about that AC life.
Andy and Randy are about that show life next on Falcons Game Night on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.